Continuing our journey of the book of Acts, and we'll continue through, through the month of August. And so, again, it's our time for our children's church. Let's give them another hand clap and give them excited to go. Adults, you have to stay in here, so give yourself a hand clap as well. Acts chapter 17, and we're in a series, the Good News Acts, the birth of a church, and to see how that all this got started in Christ Jesus.
Numbers.
We live. All right. Let's watch the video.
Numbers. We live by numbers. We track and count and measure everything, and sometimes we think the only numbers that really matter are the big ones. But it's the single digits that make the difference. The Bible says that heaven rejoices with the number one. Yeah, heaven rejoices each time even one person comes to know Jesus. We pastors dream about big numbers, and we should. But a daily focus on one meaningful interaction for Christ, that's the true difference maker. One friend, one family member, one coworker, one person at a time. We want to see God move in our nation like we have never seen before, but it all starts with one. I've got my one. And now I'm challenging you and your church to join us and to find yours. Because ultimately, the only number that really matters is one. Who's your one?
So we've been working on who's your one, somebody to pray for, to invite to Christ, to just have fellowship with. And the last Sunday of this month, we're going to have a pig roast exactly after our worship service. Also invite people to go watch Overcomer movie. So we would encourage you to bring your one, bring somebody with you, and we'll have a good time of hearing the Word of God, worshiping, and then we'll eat good. And then for those of you that can, you can get tickets out there, and we'll go watch the Overcomer movie. Also, as we go through the rest of August, we'll be in the book of Acts, and then we'll go through the book of James. So if some of you want to go ahead and get started there, we'll go through the book of James. James, like no other, had a firsthand picture of Jesus Christ. He was half-brother of Jesus, and so we'll talk about how to handle trials or tests, how to deal with temptation, how to handle temper, how to handle the Word of God, what is true religion. So we want to encourage you during the month of September to be back to hear what God's Word says to us just in a really practical and a powerful way. So let me encourage you to be back for that. Go ahead and start reading the book of James if you like, and so you'll be ahead of the game. Acts chapter 17 is where we'll be at today as we talk about the witness of the Word of God. Now, you know, through social media or entertainment or music or professors or preachers or parents or peers or whatever, there's so many voices that are clamoring for our attention. So how do we know what is true, what is not true? It sounds kind of true, but it may be a little bit off. How do we know if it's from the enemy or it's from God? And so our safeguard is the Word of God. And so how do we relate to God and to His Word? And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is about how to relate to God and His Word so that we can know what truth is. And we know who truth is Jesus, and then He teaches us truth so that we can have a better life in Christ, because we believe here that life is better with Jesus in it. Doesn't mean that we won't suffer, but suffering is better when Jesus is in the middle of it with us to bring comfort and peace. Means that success, life is better with Jesus in it, because we know that why God has granted us success, that it is bigger than us and it's about Him, not about us, that we enjoy the blessings. So as you look at this, we think about the Word of God. One illustration is one of my favorite illustrations is I got to go to a significant company in the Louisville area, and they train pilots there. So I got to go into this flight simulator, and as I was talking to the captain of it, he said, okay, you take the wheel. So really and truly, you had all these G-forces, so you had to really pull back hard to get the plane to go up. It felt just like a plane. It was a flight simulator. And on the screen, like if we were flying into Knoxville, it would look exactly like the Knoxville airport. Even if there were cows in the field, there would be cows in the field. So I try not to hit them and have steak, right? So now I'm driving up there, and the captain said, there's something I want you to do, because oftentimes pilots can crash during these times. They lose sight of the horizon and they think they're flying in the air, but they run into the ocean or they run into a mountain. It's because the pilots get disoriented and they can't tell up or down, left or right. So we got to a certain height in that simulator and he said, "Now I want you to close your eyes. And your job is very simple, Pastor." So I said, "Okay, I can do this." He said, "This is your job. I want you to tell me, I want you to close your eyes, tell me, are you going up? Are we going up or down? Then are we going left or right?" I said, "I got this. I'm a pastor, but I got this. I'm going to fly this bad boy. I'll have my pilot license. It's going to be great. It'll help my prayer life and any passengers I have." So we get up there. I close my eyes, and he says, "Okay, keep your eyes closed. Up, down, left, or right?" I said, "No problem." Everything in my being says we are going up and to the right. He said, "Okay, Pastor, now just tell me that one more time. What do you think?" I said, "Man, I got this." I said, "We are going up and we are going to the right." Every fiber being, every sense in my being says we are going up and to the right. He said, "Open your eyes." And when I opened my eyes, we were going hard left, straight down. I said, "Okay, I'll stick with pastoring instead of a pilot." I said, What happened? How do you deal with this as a pilot?" He said, "Well, there's something in your ear that you get disoriented." And I said, "Well, how do you keep from crashing? Because I don't fly these things, but I fly on these things. So I'd like to know how the pilot deals with this so that we can get there safe so I may get back on a plane or not." He said, "Well, here's what you have to do. In those instances, there is a thing called the flight director. And at those moments and those times, you have to trust your instrument to tell you the truth so that you fly by them rather than your feelings." I thought, "Oh, that's good. One, I may board a plane again. And two, I thought about the Word of God. That sometimes we feel different than what truth really is. We are bombarded with messages that are portrayed to be good and truthful, yet if we act on them, they lead us to bondage rather than to freedom. They may promise us freedom and say they are truth, but if we buy into it and we see the culture that has bought into it, we see that instead of going up and to the right, they are going down and to the left hard. The Bible says it like this: there's a way that seems right to men, but in the end, it's destruction. So rather than living by our experiences, or our feelings, or our opinions, or the popular cultural thing, our flight director, so that we can fly by the instrument, so that we trust the instruments, the Word of God, the written Word of God, which is the Bible, has become our flight instrument that we can always trust to direct us in the truth. Greater than our opinions, our feelings, the culture, even our experience, is the Word of God will always lead us to truth, will always reveal to us who the true God is, will always reveal who we are created to be, will always help us as we're flying through life to be something that is totally 100% accurate so that we can learn to fly in this life as everything flies around us. We can trust this instrument called the Word of God. I want you to look in your scriptures that we see this place called the Bereans. Now, some of you know there's a Berea in Kentucky. That's not that Berea. But our main idea today, Main Street, is that the Word of God gives witness to the Son of God through the people of God empowered by the Spirit of God. In other words, Jesus said at the beginning of the book of Acts, he says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you," because we can't live the Christian life apart from Christ in us, living his life through us. "And you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. You shall point to other people where I'm at work in your life or their life or around the world." Have you seen God at work in your life this week? And the Bible says, "You shall be my witnesses." This was a group, the Apostle Paul, and the Bible says they were in Thessalonica, and they had turned the world upside down by turning the Word of God loose. They were turning lives right side up from the inside out using the Word of God. And I just want to remind us, Main Street, our main thing here is to love God, love people, and live the mission. So how do we deal with the Word of God? How do we respond to the teaching of Scripture? How do we discern truth? How do we discern when people are teaching us the Word of God? How do we discern that? Well, there's four things that we want to look at. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says this, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica." He's talking about the Bereans. "For they received the Word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." So what are four responses we can have to the teaching of Scripture to make sure that we are hearing truth, living truth, knowing truth, to make sure that this is our instrument that we can follow and we can always trust? The first thing is to be open learners, to be open learners. Look what the Bible says in verse 11. You may want to underline this. "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica." The word noble-minded there means that they had a teachable attitude, that their hearts were not hardened, but they were open to the Word of God. So when Paul came on the scene in Thessalonica, great things happened, but some people opposed the Word of God, and they had their hearts were closed to the Word of God. When he went to Berea, he found out that they were open learners. Their heart was open to hear, to see if it was truth or not truth, to hear what Paul had to say. So the best thing we can do when someone is teaching Scripture, when we're hearing Scripture, is to be open learners. They were more noble-minded. Psalms 119 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your word, O God." Not a bad prayer to pray, right? Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your word. Number two is be eager listeners. Look what the Bible says. "For they received the word with great eagerness." Now that word eagerness there means passion, like a baby has for milk, and then they mature for the meat. Now, how many of you know that when babies are hungry, they let you know it? And they... if you don't raise your hand, you got nursery duty. Let's leave it at that. So that is the picture there. What are you saying? That word eager there is like eagerness or passion, like a baby has for milk. They are crying out for it. They need it. They are hungering for it. It's an insatiable desire. And you know that when you give your life back to Christ who created you by trusting what he did on the cross and is raised to life, all of a sudden you begin to crave God's word. Before, when I was in high school and beforehand and through my years at college over here at the University of Cummins, when I would look at this, it was just kind of words on a page to me. But the day that Jesus Christ began to live inside of me, this word came alive. This word was always alive, but I was not alive to it. But the moment Jesus Christ lived into my life, all of a sudden this word not only gave me life, but came alive to me. Would you like to sit down sometimes with the author of a book and say, "What were you thinking?" Guess what? The ultimate, eternal author of this book is God himself. And when you have relationship with him, he communicates to you through his written word among his personal relationship. Listen to what 1 Peter 2 says. "Like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it," meaning the word of God, "you may grow." So we will never grow apart from the word of God, but we will always grow together with the word of God. "That you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." Listen, how many of you know that Krispy Kreme donuts are a gift of the Lord? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. So you got to say, man, that's pretty close in there, right? But you know what happens there? You like we go on vacation and like nobody hardly speaks to us in the elevator. Everybody's kind of looking at their shoe tops and everything, kind of awkward. But we make a Krispy Kreme run and we get back on that same elevator and we're everybody's best friend. I like to find Debbie some Krispy Kreme perfume, you know? That's my wife, so it's okay. Just let that go. But what I find is when the hot sun is on, I like have this insatiable desire to eat more than one. I don't know if you do that or not. But because I have tasted and known that it was good, I keep going back. Listen to this. Silly illustration, perhaps, though truthful. When you have tasted and seeing that the Lord is kind and good, you will want to get into His Word, because you will know that His Word leads to tasting and seeing that He is kind, that He is good, and that He's full of grace. We read the Word not to grow in our knowledge. Knowledge alone puffs us up, but we gain the knowledge so that we can know the person. Number three, examine the lesson according to the truth of Scripture. Look what the Bible says. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So examine the lesson according to the truth of Scripture. When you hear somebody teaching the Word of God, or when you're alone looking at the Word of God, make sure that you examine the lesson, what you think you're hearing according to the truth of Scripture. In other words, the greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. So make sure you're weighing everything you're hearing about the Bible from the Bible itself. Look what they did. Examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. This was the great apostle Paul. I mean, this was a guy who was a persecutor of the church. Now he was a preacher. He was a radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, this was the dude in Christianity. He was a great missionary who wrote most of the New Testament, and yet it didn't give him a pass. They wanted to hear what he had to say, and then they would examine the Scriptures to make sure that it lined up with Scripture. When he was telling them about Jesus, they wanted to make sure they could look in the Old Testament and see about who the Messiah would be, and make sure that it would match up with who Jesus is. I want to encourage you, don't take things at face value. Make sure that you take Scripture and examine it by the truth of Scripture. Well, number four is daily live the Scripture. Look what the Bible says again in verse 11. Examining the Scriptures, what does that say? Daily. So now we want to live in the Scripture, we want to live by the Scripture, and we want to live out the Scripture. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said it like this: don't just be a hearer of the Word, but be a doer of the Word, lest you deceive yourselves. You know, we can deceive ourselves. And so he said, don't just be a hearer of the Word, but be a doer of the Word. Jesus said it like this. He said, there's two men who build this house. And he said, the storms of life come. And you know that storms of life are coming. You may have just got out of a storm. You may be going into a storm. But storms face us in this broken world. And he said, here is the one who stands the test of time. Here's one that can stand. Here's the one that can stand in the middle of storms. And he said, the one who hears my word and acts on them. The Bible says God's word is forever settled. God is unchanging, and so is his word. Amen. So the Bible will teach us that be careful how you hear the word of God. Make sure that you hear it not just with your eyes and with your ears, but hear it with your heart. And here's how it drops from your head to your heart, is when you hear the word of God, when you hold on to the word of God, but when you obey the word of God, it drops to your heart. Jesus talked about a sower who went to sow the seed, and he said the seed is the word of God. And he said there's four kinds of hearers. One hears the word of God, but the devil comes and snatches that word away so no one will be saved. It's like, man, really think about this. Who would not want to be right with God? Who would not want to choose heaven? Who would not want to spend eternity with God? Who would not want to have peace and forgiveness in their life? Who would not want to know that Jesus has done everything necessary for us to have life and have life more abundantly? Who would not want to know that? But yet I lived 20-something years hearing that but not receiving that, knowing it in my head but not receiving it in my heart. Why is that? It's because when you hear the truth, the devil comes and snatches it away lest you be saved. And that may even happen here today. Then he said there's another kind of heart that when they hear it, that they have joy for a little bit, but in time of temptation they fall away. So they hear the word, it's joyful, but in times of temptation, they turn away from that word. Then he said there's another kind of heart that you hear the word of God and you know the word, you're hearing this word, but yet that word is choked out with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and it brings no fruit to maturity. But he said, here's the kind of heart that we want. He said, here's the heart that is honest and good heart, holds it fast and bears fruit with perseverance. Then Jesus said these words: take care how you listen. I would encourage us to make sure our hearts are right with God and be careful how we listen and what we listen to. So how does that help us? Be open learners, be eager listeners, examine the lesson according to the truths of Scripture, and then daily live in the Scriptures, live out the Scriptures, and live by the Scriptures. Then this text tells us there's four results that happen in the response to the Word of God. Look what the Bible says in verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. But when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the Word of God had been proclaimed by Paul and Berea also, they came there as well, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul out to go as far as the sea, and Silas and Timothy remained there. Now those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens. So there was four results to this response to the Word of God. The first one is there were conversions there. Look what the Bible says again in verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed. So one of the byproduct or side effects of hearing the Word of God with open, eager heart and passion is people give their life back to their Creator through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the Scripture leads us to salvation. The Scripture leads us to Jesus. The Scripture leads us to truth. And the Bible says, therefore, many of them believed. They got all in with Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen, just take God at His word right here. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. Now listen to this. That if you confess with your mouth, so if means it's a choice, right? That if you confess means to say the same thing as. It means to agree with. You're going to agree with God, thus His word. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. He promised. Then listen to what the Bible says. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, of God. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, delivered, rescued in relationship with the God of the universe. So that comes through the Word of God, hearing the Word of God in your head, but obeying it with your heart. What happens around the Word of God is that faith begins to be built up, and you can receive the one who it comes from, meaning Jesus. Well, there was also conflict as a result. Look what the Bible says in verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica found out, look, that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul and Berea also, they came there as well, agitating and stirring up the crowd. So there was conflict when the word of God was there. Not everybody will like the word of God. Not everybody will like the message, nor the messenger. So now they were agitated, and there was friction. But there was also a church that was birthed. May I tell you one great reason to be part of a church? Is because the Bible says that the gathering of God's people, those who have a relationship with Christ, are the household of God, the church of the living God. Now listen to this, the pillar and support of the truth. You see, when you believe rightly in Jesus, you belong in relationship with His family, the household of God. And the Bible says it is the church, the called out, the gathered in, and the sent out. The church, those who assemble together, listen to this, not of the dead God, not of the false God, but of the living God. But now watch this if you want to know what truth is. Listen to this. The pillar and support of the truth. What is the truth? His name is Jesus, and He's given us His word. And then there was a commission to fulfill. Well, we want to take the seed of the Word of God and sow the gospel. That's what Paul was doing throughout the book of Acts. So here's three places to be. This is what we want for everyone here at Main Street Baptist Church. There are three places we want you to be. The first thing is to be in a gathering to worship. To be in a gathering to worship. Number two, to be in a group to grow. Now, we see this in the book of Acts. We see that they gathered together in a large group as they assembled together, and then they would meet in house to house. Some of our groups meet off-site in the community in people's homes. Most of our groups meet on Sunday mornings around these facilities. So what we're saying is three places to be so that you can hear the Word of God is through the gathering to worship and through a group to grow. And then number three, we want everyone a place to be is to have a God time to know. What does that mean? That means we want you to have this God time just with you and God so that you can know God more. That once you have relationship, you're like a brand new baby who needs the Word of God to help us grow. And all of us, we need God and we need one another. Not a lack of God, but that's how God has set it up in his household. We need God. Let's just humor me. How many of you need God in breath? How many of you need God in to be woke up? All right. How many of you need God in food? Better raise your hand there so we'll get out, okay? We need God in air. Well, we need God and one another, not because there's a lack of God, but because the sovereign God had designed it to be family. So let me encourage you. Three places to be. We want everyone into a gathering to worship, to be in a group to grow, and to have a God time to know. So you may say, well, how do I start? How do I start with a God time? How do I do that? So we want to give you a way, a real simple way, that you can do this God time thing on your own, but you can also teach others. And here's what it is. It's an acrostic. Read the Bible. Let's all say that. Read the Bible. So we want to read the Bible. So very simply, read. What does God's Word say? So you'll notice that read, R-E-A-D, read. What does God's Word say? E, examine. What do I see in God's Word? And then A, how do I live out God's Word with God's help? And then D is a dialogue. How do I talk it over with God? Because when we're praying, it's a dialogue, not a monologue, right? When we're reading God's Word, God is speaking to us, and when we pray, we are speaking back to God. So I want you, here's a real simple way. You can teach this in a group, you can teach this in your home, or you can do this on your own, is to learn how to read the Bible. Again, R, read. What does God's Word say? So I would just read the Scripture, such as I was looking in this text, Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. But look what we look at our scripture we looked at based on most of the time in verse 11. Now there were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So the first thing to do is just read the word of God. Just read the word of God. What does God's word say? And then E, examine. What do I see in God's word? So now we ask questions. Who, what, when, where, why? What do I learn about God in this? What do I learn about myself? What does scripture say? So a lot of times you may just say, what verse or word or theme or topic stood out to you? So in this text, I may say, well, as I examine this, he's talking about Thessalonica. Who are the Thessalonians? So I would go to look before to see who the Thessalonians are, and now I would just major on verse 11. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And then, now, how do I apply God's word? Well, for me, it would be, I need to be prepared to make sure my heart is eager to hear God's word before I ever go to a gathering. So I want to prepare all week. I want to prepare Saturday night so that when I come to hear God's word, I have been in God's word and I'm ready to hear God's word. And then dialogue. How do I talk it over with God? Well, here's how I would do that. I would do something like this. Verse 11. Lord God, I just pray for myself. I pray for my family. I pray for our church family. I pray, Lord, that we would be noble-minded like the Bereans. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to receive your word with great eagerness. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to examine the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so that we're hearing every single day through the media or through preachers or through teachers or through professors or through coaches or through spouses or whatever it is. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a people who love you and love your word and that we are eager to examine your scriptures daily. Lord, give us a hunger like a brand new baby for your word. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And Lord, answer that prayer. So I want to encourage you to read the Bible. I love this. Here's what Jesus says, and I'll close. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, these are the ones who said, we believe in him. Now watch what he says. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Do you hear what Jesus said? He said, there's a lot of people who profess to believe in him. But here's what he said. He said, the one who continues in my word, they're truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth you know will set you free. And when Jesus sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. How are you in relationship to God and to His Word? How are you in relationship to God and to His Word? For some of you, you just need to take God at His Word with the scripture I read to you. That if you confess, agree with, say the same thing as, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, be made right with God, forgiven of your sins, on your way to heaven, and have great purpose in your life here. Some of you just need to agree with God that His Word is true. And the Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So the Bible says, whoever, regardless of your background, regardless of what you've done or what you've become, what you have done, what you haven't done, how religious you are, how irreligious you are, whether this is your first time here or maybe you've been here all of your life, the Bible says that if you will agree that God is telling the truth and confess that Jesus is Lord, that He's boss, that He's king, and you believe you're all in, that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Saved means to be delivered from the penalty of our sin, from the guilt of our sin. It also means to be rescued for a relationship. It means to begin and connect with a personal relationship with the God of the universe, who has done everything necessary for you to be forgiven of your sin and to know Him in a personal and eternal way. So today, would you take God at His Word, the first step? Would you take God at His Word and say, Lord, Jesus, I agree that You are the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins. I confess You as Lord, and I believe You died for me, and You're alive. Please come into my life. And my friend, if that's a desire of your heart, that's because that desire was placed there by the God of the universe. How many of you in this room with every head bowed and eye closed, how many of you would say, Donnie Bruce, Pastor, in my heart of hearts, I want to know that I have eternal life. And I want to take God at His Word and receive Him into my life. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? We will not come back to you. But if that's you, would you just slip up your hand all around this place? Yeah, God bless you. Anybody else? Yeah. I want to encourage you just right there where you're at in your seat. I said something like this on my mama's back porch. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe You're God's Son. And I say You're Lord. And I believe You're alive. Come into my life and never leave me, and help me follow You. Now, if that's something like you have just said or that you want to say, I want to encourage you right now just to tell Jesus that. And in just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet and people will be singing. But we would invite you to publicly, unashamedly, that you would come forward and take one of us. And don't worry about what you're going to say. We know that by your coming, you're saying yes. And we'll take you to God's Word so that you can know that you know that you know you have eternal life. But don't leave here without telling someone. We'll also be down front and out by the Welcome Center, but don't leave here. That is a divine invitation from the God of the universe to begin a relationship with you that is real and personal. We would encourage you to do it in just a moment, but don't leave here until you tell someone. Christ follower, would you ask the Lord to stir your heart for His Word, so that you test every message you hear, not just behind a pulpit, but any platform that you're dealing with and you're listening to, all the voices, would you just say, Lord, help me to test everything by Your Word. And maybe today you just got to say, Lord, help stir my heart to have a hunger, a thirst, an eagerness for Your Word today. Maybe it's just time to get back into the Bible and let the Bible get in you. Lord, we love You and we bless You. Thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done in our midst. Thank You, Lord. Now, Lord, we pray that You would give us all the grace and the courage and the faith to take the next step with You, whatever that is. Help us to say yes to You and help us to take the next step, trusting you to give us the power to do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand to your feet. If you need prayer, this altar